I don't just bring you the news, I bring you the newsmakers.
Consul General of the U.S. Consul General in Lagos, giving her first ever interview in Nigeria, Claire Pierangelo.
They come to me because they know Lagos is listening.
I love the way you engage Nigerians, especially these people who are called to supremacist Nigerians. They feel they are more Nigerian than you are.
We talk to the newsmakers.
The Special Assistant to the President on Digital and New Media, Tolu Ogunlesi. Frank Mba has just walked into the studio.
Yawande Sadiku. Yawande is the Executive Secretary of NIPC, the Nigeria Investment Promotion Council.
The Senior Special Assistant to President Muhammadu Buhari on Public Affairs, Mr. Ajuri Ngelale.
We talk to captains of industry.
She's the founder and CEO of Tomato Joss, one of Nigeria's biggest agro-industrial businesses. Her name is Mira Mehta. He's been selected for Forbes 30 Under 30. His name is Eniolua Aboyeji.
We talk to the experts.
He's the chief economist at Business Day. He's a big friend of the show. Don't so be clean.
He's the head of the Department of Molecular Biology and Biotechnology at the Nigerian Institute of Medical Research, NIMR. Dr. Bamidele Walofo.
And we talk to you.
Does he mean for the Naira Central Bank? The exchange rate and forex supply have been a lot. The latest round was, of course, sparked by the vice president's advice about reducing the gap between the official rate and the market rate. And that brings me to our big hard fact, today's big hard fact. According to SBM Intelligence, the gap between the Naira's official rate and market rate last month was 169 Naira. This is the widest gap since February 2017 and the third widest gap since January 2015. Of course, a big gap like that can be exploited by people who can buy low at the official rate, then sell high on the black market. Then there's also the question of what that low official rate is signaling, right, to investors. Now, you have supporters of the CBN's policy who say that letting the official rate meet the market rate would bring hardship to everyday Nigerians, right? But what I want us to do is talk realistically about what options the CBN has. What are the pros and cons of the CBN's options here? My guest is from SBM Intelligence. He's the head of research there, Ikemesi Defiong. Thank you for joining us.
Good evening, Sandra. Thanks for having me.
Good evening.
It's a pleasure to be with you once again.
Lagos, of course, we want to hear from you. What questions do you have about the exchange rate and CBN's options? You can ask our guest. We're also going to have joining us later on the new editor-in-chief at Stairs Business on the other side of 5:30. But let's start with Ikemesi. The VP's position was quite interesting. He said, quote, "As for the exchange rate, I think we need to move our rate to be as reflective of the market as possible. This, in my own perspective, my own respective view, is the only way to improve supply. We can't get new dollars into the system where the exchange rate is artificially low," end quote. Now, Ikemesi, what's your take on his fundamental premise that keeping the official rate lower, a bit higher than the market rate, will stop people from bringing dollars into the system?
Yeah, because like all markets, right,
Ikemesi, hi. We suddenly can't hear you anymore. Hello, Ikemesi? Hello?
Hello, Sandra.
Ikemesi, can you hear us?
Yes, Sandra, I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Now we can hear you very clearly.
Oh, awesome.
Okay.
Awesome, then. Okay, so as I was about to explain, the market for currencies, right, just like every market, operates on the fundamental idea of market incentives. So people have to trust and believe that a particular item is worth a certain amount of money and they are comfortable purchasing that item at that particular price value in order for an exchange and then a transaction, right, to occur. And what for many market participants, especially, you know, the big guns who, by the nature of their business, have the opportunity to earn in foreign currency, chiefly in U.S. dollars, even while they operate in Nigeria, these markets right now and the incentives of the currency market with respect to the Naira, right, is a fundamental disincentive. Basically, the summary of the last four sentences I've made is that Many, many people in this market do not believe that the Naira is worth what the official exchange rate says the Naira is worth. And a truer value of where, you know, the Naira's value is what you see at the parallel market. The CBN's prognostications and, you know, pronouncements notwithstanding. And the vice president's comments represent perhaps the most high-level admission by a Nigerian public official of a reality which market participants have known for the last 6 years, really.
You know, there's been a back and forth about whether the VP was calling for a devaluation of the Naira. I don't want to get into the semantics, but if the CBN lets the official rate meet the market rate, doesn't that mean the official rate of the Naira will drop?
It does mean that the official market rate will drop, and that represents the textbook definition of a currency devaluation, really, where when the price of a currency, right, is allowed to fall vis-a-vis, you know, some of its major currency peers, that's really the textbook definition of the devaluation. So, you know, the vice president's office for political considerations, which are perfectly understandable, has been at pains to explain that what the vice president wasn't calling for was for a devaluation. It was just calling for policies that would incentivize the more efficient allocation as well as the efficient supply of U.S. dollars. The fact of the matter remains, though, that in practice, the only way that is going to happen is if market participants think that the Naira is fairly and appropriately valued. And right now, many market participants do not think so. And the only way market participants will get to that point is if the CBN allows the Naira to get to that point, also known as a devaluation.
There's something I want you to explain. The VP said, quote, "I'm convinced that the demand management strategy currently being adopted by the CBN needs a rethink." So explain what is meant here by demand management.
Okay, so demand management basically refers to the CBN's policy over the last 5 to 6 years of rigorously policing the amount of items that Nigerian economic participants, so think businesses, you know, think people when they want to travel abroad, right, or you know, businesses if they want to buy, you know, say a foreign input, or they just want to outright buy, you know, a foreign good in its finished form, which of those goods and services are worthy, right, of a U.S. dollar or, you know, any foreign currency allocation by the central bank. So there are two ways in which you can manage from a policymaker standpoint. There are two broad ways, right, in which you can manage your foreign currency markets. One, you can allow it to be, you know, a free market. You know, economists tend to call that a free float. So what that basically means is that you allow the value of your currency basically be determined by forces that are external to you as a policymaker, and anyone can enter into the market if they've got, you know, a pile or a stash of dollars to sell, and they can sell it to anyone really at any point in time. You know, wider economic developments, right, could also impact on the price of your currency. If people think that the development, say a natural disaster, a policy announcement, a new economic data announcement, right, fundamentally shift the needle economically, and people want to take positions on how they think your economy will do. Most major economies run a free float, the chief one being, you know, the U.S. dollar. Most currencies peg their value or measure their value, you know, to the U.S. dollar, because the United States is the world's preeminent economy, the biggest section of the global economy that there is, and Nigeria does that too. Or you can very, very tightly manage the value of your currency. And there are really two ways to do that. You can make it difficult for people to access, right, the foreign currency through which you measure your value, that is demand management. So you manage the demand for U.S. dollars in the economy. Or you can manage the supply, which is that you know, if you're able to get the dollars, you can use it for whatever it is you want to. And that's sort of like a more supply side management. Most CBN administrations before the current one have adopted policy positions that emphasize the supply side management a lot more. But what really changed, right, over the last 6 years was that, one, we shifted to a demand management and policy model where the CBN was very particular about what you could use dollars for and how much dollars in many cases you can be allocated at any one time. And then secondly, and perhaps this is the most important and the, you know, the most extensive effect that people have felt of the CBN's policies was that the list of things that were proscribed or prevented from, you know, from Nigerian, you know, economic actors accessing dollars for was radically expanded, right? First in 2015, and then, you know, there have been consistent additions to what is now known as the Forex import restriction list. So basically, there are a wide suite of items. There are almost 50 items through which you cannot access dollars, at least on the official market. The effect of that on the policymaking side was that that was supposed to create a disincentive for people to even look for dollars, right? But what had happened over time, sort of an unintended consequence, was that it just transferred a lot of Nigerians who were able to access dollars at the official market rate through their commercial banks and by extension through the CBN to the parallel or the black market, like most of your listeners, you know, would know that market as being called. And for the last 3 to 4 years, anyone who wanted dollars for anything and it was going to be difficult getting it from a commercial bank, you could go to the parallel market. And, you know, it wasn't always easy. You'd encounter difficulties, you know, time and again, especially if you're looking for huge volumes of dollars, say above $20,000, you know, dollars. But you, in many cases, you would have been able, the black market or the parallel market would have been able to, you know, to meet your demand. But what changed again was that at the middle of this year, the CBN came out and said that the predominant participants that guaranteed dollar supply in the black market, right, the Brews, the Shames, could not, you know, had their supply, right, of dollars from the CBN constrained. And it was pretty significant, Sandra, because that particular supply to the parallel market was something in the order of $800 million a week, right? So the CBN basically turned off that tap practically overnight. And now, you know, the BDC, right, are now facing the same challenges that many other Nigerian economic participants, you know, have had to deal with for quite a while now, which is, where do we get the supply of dollars to be able to meet our commitments? And that's really where we are. So in a nutshell, that's demand management and sort of how it has been practiced in Nigeria up until now.
So you've talked about, you know, I mean, the obvious advantage of demand management from what you've said is that it allows the CBN to reduce how much Forex is leaving the CBN's hands. Now, you've talked about some of the disadvantages. Are there other disadvantages of this demand management thing?
Yes, so, you know, on sort of a wider macroeconomic level, so sort of taking a more extensive economic view of it, which is really what the macroeconomy is, what having access to foreign currency, right, does is that, you know, from a Nigerian perspective, right, global transactions are denominated in U.S. dollars in many cases, the vast majority of them at least, are denominated in U.S. dollars. And if you're a Nigerian economic participant and you have a business or you're in manufacturing or you're in industry and a key input to the product or the service that you offer, right, requires you to import something from abroad, instead of you, you know, getting into a business agreement with someone in China or in Europe or in South America, right, in Naira, because in many of those countries, the naira is not recognized.
Mm-hmm.
You expect those transactions in dollars. And what really demand management has done, away from, you know, all of the talk which policymakers like to issue about how, you know, people are taking money out of the country and how Nigerians need to learn to, you know, to produce more of what, you know, they need locally, which, you know, are all fairly good points and, you know, happen in some shape or form in the economy.
Mm.
But the real effect of demand management has been that many legitimate Nigerian businesses that require legitimate inputs for things which they would love to produce in Nigeria, but they can't source or get in Nigeria, at least at this time, you know, have been hamstrung and they've been very constrained in terms of, you know, finding the, you know, the foreign currencies, you know, necessary in order to effect those transactions. And so, you know, there's been sort of that ripple effect on the economy. Manufacturing, for example, you know, say for a couple of quarters, has been on a steady decline in Nigeria since 2016. And, you know, many economic theories will tell you that the fundamental bedrock of a modern economy is industrial manufacturing. And when whatever little manufacturing that we have in the country, right, is being erased because of, in part, you know, so to be clear, the country's foreign exchange policies aren't the only reasons why some of these things are happening, but they are a key component. And when you try to solve, you know, a problem and create a couple more problems, mm-hmm, while you're at it,
mm-hmm,
it really, you know, brings up the, you know, the particular issue about whether, you know, the current, you know, policy track, right, that we are pursuing is really the right one in the long term for the economy.
But if the CBN were to stop restricting access to Forex and let the market take as much as it wants, is there a risk of depleting the reserves? And if that happens, what are the possible effects?
Okay, so the short answer is yes, but with important caveats, right? And why there's a risk that might happen is because of the way, you know, the Nigerian foreign exchange market, right, is largely structured. So the government, through the CBN, has put itself in a position where it becomes the clearinghouse for foreign denominated transactions and foreign exchange, you know, entering the country and leaving the country. And so because it has put itself in that position, I mean, the CBN has been in that position for a very long time. This is not new to this current administration or this current CBN. This has been the case, right, you know, since the mid-1980s at the earliest. So because it has done that, the government has made itself the primary source of foreign exchange, and especially of U.S. dollars, right, in the market. But if you go back to what I said at the beginning of our conversation, right, any company or any organization which, by the nature of its business, can earn foreign exchange, can also, you know, provide and supply foreign exchange. So there was something the CBN did, you know, right about 2016, it created a window at the time when we had multiple parallel rings, called the importers and exporters window. And basically, what the CBN tried to achieve with that window was to create a separate part of the market, like a smaller slice of the market, where, you know, exporters who sell to the wider global economy and earn in dollars can come to the I&E window and offer whatever foreign exchange, what dollars, pounds, whatever it is that they may have, at a rate which was higher, right, not by much, but higher than the official rate, to anyone who wanted to import stuff into the economy, which was why it was called the importers and exporters window.
Mm-hmm.
What the existence of that window, you know, admitted without saying was that there are other people in the Nigerian economy that earn dollars. So think about it. The fundamental way through which Nigeria earns foreign exchange, we all learned this from, you know, economics in secondary school, is oil, right?
Mm.
So what that means is the multinationals themselves, even after they've taken care of their tax obligations,
mm-hmm,
and all of the various taxes and levies and charges, mm-hmm, which we owe the federal government,
mm-hmm,
also have access to foreign exchange. And some of them are, you know, have been known to be big participants in the foreign exchange market. Again, the challenge is that because of the way the pricing is tightly controlled by the CBN, there's a disincentive for them to bring forex into market.
The country.
So yes, there's a risk, right, that, you know, the CBN might have to, you know, dip its hands into, you know, the
reserves,
the country's foreign reserves, right, in order to fund a free float market, right, which is why, as part of some of the things that, you know, we like to say at SBM, we say, do not only let the Naira float, but fundamentally change the nature of the market so anyone can feel comfortable bringing in dollars. And there are Nigerian businesses who do huge volumes, right, in foreign currencies as well as Naira, right, and their obligations are regularly swinging between both currencies. And so for these Nigerian actors, they will always have needs. They've got Nigerian employees here in Nigeria that they've got to pay in Naira. They've got contractors and suppliers and, you know, an entire ecosystem that they have to take care of in Naira. So these guys are not just earning foreign exchange just to sit on it for the fun of it. In many cases,
it's recirculated
in order to get the things done. The problem for them is, if you think you can get more Naira at a higher price than what is currently prevailing in the market, you might want to write it out for 2, 3, 4 months, which has basically been the behavior, right, for a few years now. So, yes, that risk does exist, but it only really exists because the government has made itself, you know, judge and executioner, basically, in the foreign exchange market. And that needs to change so that, you know, our petrol dollars, right, as well as our tax dollars, do not just, you know, all, you know, get plowed into funding a market which a lot of Nigerians do not directly participate in.
Ikeme Sedefiong is the head of research at SBM Intelligence. Ikeme Sedefiong, it's always a pleasure to have you on Hard Facts.
Thank you so much, Sandra.
Thank you for your time. Don't go away, Lagos, because on the other side of 5 o'clock, after this break that we're about to go on, we're also going to be speaking with the editor-in-chief at Stairs Business. She's the new editor-in-chief of Stairs Business. Her name is Fadekemi Abiru. I'm looking forward to hearing what she has to say about the future of Nigeria's Naira. I'm Sandra Ezekwesili. This is Nigeria Info 99.3. We are your number one talk station. Don't go away. You're listening to Hard Facts on 99.3 Nigeria Info. I'm Sandra Ezekwesili. What options does the CBN have for the Naira? It's 5:42 right now. And if you just tuned in, let me remind you, we're streaming live on Facebook. We're also streaming live on YouTube. Facebook is Nigeria Info 99.3. Nigeria Info 99.3. YouTube is Nigeria Info FM. And of course, you can listen online wherever you are in the world via nigeriainfo.fm, www.nigeriainfo.fm. We're joined now by Fadekemi Abiru. She is the new editor-in-chief at Stairs Business. Fadekemi, thank you so much for joining us on the show.
Thanks for having me, Sandra.
Lagos, of course, if you listened to the first 25 minutes of our conversation on the show, you heard from SBM Intelligence. And we talked about the VP's position. We talked about the back and forth, about whether the VP was calling for a devaluation of the Naira. We talked about the VP talking about demand management. The VP here is, of course, Vice President Yemi Osinbajo. And then we talked about the advantage and disadvantage, or advantages and disadvantages of demand management. And then we talked about, you know, what could happen if the CBN were to stop restricting access to Forex, right? And then allow the market to take as much as it wants, right? Is there a risk of depleting the reserves, right? And if that happens, what are the possible effects? Now, Ikeme Sedefiong from SBM Intelligence, the head of research at SBM Intelligence, gave us his answers. But I'm very curious to hear what you think, Ms. Abiru, now that you're on the show. So before we get to that question, first of all, talk to me about what you think the fundamental premise of the vice president was when he said, as for the exchange rate, I think we need to move our rates to be as reflective of the market as possible. This, in my own respective view, is the only way to improve supply. We can't get new dollars into the system where the exchange rate is artificially low. So what's your take on his fundamental premise that keeping the official rate lower or higher than the market rate will stop people from bringing dollars into the system?
Thanks, Sandra. So I think a useful place for me, if I was going to answer your question, is just even just reminding us of what the mandate for the central bank is, like why they exist in the first place, right?
Right.
And essentially, like, the common wisdom is just that they exist to ensure that prices are stable.
Mm-hmm.
So that means keeping inflation between 6 to 9%. And they're also in charge of issuing the Naira, maintaining our foreign reserves, regulating the financial system, and essentially acting as a banker for the federal government.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And it's really important to draw this out, because especially the part about inflation, because that's the main reason why central banks exist. And it's important to manage inflation just because of what the impact that we know. Volatile price changes, what that impact then goes on to have on the economy, right? So if prices are changing too frequently, people will find it difficult to plan, like individuals, businesses.
Mm-hmm.
And so, let's take a baker, for example. Like, if she's not able to understand, like, okay, what the price of flour or sugar would be, she can't make any plans.
Right.
And so that then goes on to, like, reduce the amount of economic activity that's happening in the space, because people would, you know, they can't plan. They don't know what the price of, like, goods would be in the future.
Right.
And so I bring that up because, you know, that's meant to be the main focus of the central bank and, like, how they go on to practice monetary policy.
Mm-hmm.
And the way that they tend to do this is, you know, using a set of tools to control the money supply in an economy,
mm-hmm.
right? And then they go on to use that to achieve, like, a combination of stable prices and steady economic growth that I was talking about earlier.
Mm-hmm.
And the common way that monetary policy is executed is through increasing and decreasing interest rates. So if you have a lower interest rate, then that's associated with more supply, like increased supply of money, higher borrowing, and more spending by consumers and firms. And so when we take all of that together, right, it's just thinking about, okay, what does all of this then have to do with the exchange rates? And the basic theory behind what drives the exchange rates is just, you know, typical demand and supply. It tells us, like, when the market is in equilibrium, it tells us what the price of the currency would be. So people would demand dollars to import, and we also get a supply of dollars from foreigners, either through oil sales or, you know, from the diaspora or investors. So if we're just going to leave everything to just happen naturally, there would then be that, like, volatility happening in the market.
Right.
And so that means that, you know, Nigeria's supply of dollars will keep changing.
Right.
And that could then also have an immediate impact on our exchange rates, which would then cause it to become very volatile. So this is not fun for anyone.
Right.
That's what I was saying. It's just, like, it's difficult for people to plan. Like, nobody would be able to predict the price at which they can exchange their currency. And then, you know, that's also, like, another mechanism through which business activity is then discouraged. But then, you know, the thing about it is, the question then goes back to, you know, how do you then address this? So as a commodity exporting country like Nigeria is, the option typically is just to operate a fixed exchange rate regime where the central bank controls the supply of foreign currency in the market to keep the exchange rates fixed, so to speak. And essentially, like, by them doing this, you know, And so that's just, like, one of the ways to do this. But what we then observe, like, when we think about Nigeria's context, is the fact that there's this, it's more or less like going down that challenging route of manipulating forex demand,
mm-hmm.
while also trying to control supply. So maybe the idea there is, okay, if we can reduce the demand for dollars, then the CBN will not have to supply as much of it, mm-hmm. from the foreign reserves, which is where, you know, the dollars are kept. But if you just think about it like Uber surge pricing, for example. Like, when Uber wants to set prices during, like, peak period, right? We have the drivers who, yeah, so if there are like not enough drivers in the market, but too many people like trying to request a ride, then you get like surge pricing going up. So then the market is essentially eliminating people who cannot then, who are then unable to pay. So that's like Uber basically controlling like the supply of riders. But then so just taking that back to CBN's case, if they're trying to manage both the supply and the demand side of things, then it's almost like you're trying to tell both the riders and the drivers how they should operate in the market.
Now, I hear that, right? But I'm looking at the CBN itself and the entire idea of liberalizing the exchange rate. What are the direct and indirect negative consequences of a devaluation?
Yeah, so I think the main thing to just note there is right now where we're currently at is there's a price that the Naira is set at. So that's like what the exchange rate is. Mm-hmm. I always like to say, I think something that we like to say in the Stairs Business Newsroom is the exchange rate is not even real, right? It's just like how different countries like go on to price, it's how different countries go on to like price their currency relative to another country's currency. And so like what this then goes on to reflect is, you know, how much of foreign goods can your currency go on to purchase? And so if you all of a sudden had a situation where tomorrow your currency is worth less than what it is today, mm-hmm. The impact that, I guess, like varies depending on, what the nature of your economy is, like what the makeup of your economy is. So mm-hmm. something that we know is how the Nigerian economy is heavily dollarized. So 40% of like the economy is dollarized. And so the impact of that, like, you know, the fact that, you know, the fact that a lot of industries are import dependent. And so that dependency on what the price of what the value of the Naira is compared to the dollars will have an impact on the price that we go on to pay for goods. Services in the economy. So that's just like one of the main things that we can expect to notice.
We often hear Egypt used as a success story for devaluation. They did theirs a few years back. How has it worked for them? Why has it worked for them?
So I think the main thing to draw out there, like whenever you're thinking about like what price your currency should be, would be how much is that reflecting the realities of your economy. So if you have a situation, so that's one of the reasons why people say things like the parallel markets exist, because, you know, that falls outside of the purview of like what the central bank can basically control. Like, you know, they can't necessarily like dictate the prices that go on there. It's not so bad if you have a situation where your currency is aligned with what if the value of the official exchange rate is different or diverges slightly from, you know, what the official market rates is. But then if it diverges too significantly, then it just basically calls into question, like, you know, what exactly are the fundamentals that are underpinning your currency in this situation. So I think something that worked well for Egypt was the fact that just abandoning that commitment to just trying to defend a currency that is not supported by real market fundamentals, right? And so all of a sudden people then, and so all of a sudden, like, you know, government policy can then be, government policy can then be directed towards more like productive means. Because what then happens if a central bank is so committed to like defending the price of a currency, there are certain restrictions that come into place. So for example, they're not able to use interest rates as freely as they normally would. Mm-hmm. Sorry about that. They're not able to use interest rates as freely as they normally would to, you know, kind of manage the economy, right? So if, for example, the economy was overheating, you wouldn't be able to increase interest rates to kind of like curb borrowing and spending in the economy and the other way around as well. If you're also basically, I guess, like in Nigeria's case as well, if you're focusing on like demand management policies that are, you know, aimed at like restricting the people's access to dollars, that also creates that like disruptive effect in the market.
You know, right now the CBN seems to be stuck between a rock and a hard place. Not enough forex to defend the naira, and perhaps not enough political will to float it. What options does the bank have? What do you think the smartest strategy for Nigeria's economy should be?
So whenever I want to answer that question, I think the main thing is challenging us to look outside of monetary policy. And the reason I say that is something that is widely accepted amongst a lot of economists is the fact that monetary policy is too blunt a tool to steer Nigeria out of a recession. Like, we have to think about the other set of policy tools that are available to us that are in the government's arsenal, essentially. So things like fiscal policy can actually go a long way in addressing the more long-term structural issues that we face in the economy. And the reason I say this is monetary policy itself, the reason I say monetary policy is a blunt instrument is the fact that it gives your economy that short-term boost to output that is not necessarily sustainable. So essentially, like, if we just like increase money supply, then output would also increase temporarily. And then from there, extra spending would occur, and then that would go on to increase prices and wages. But eventually that spending will go back to its previous level, just because you've not really done anything to like almost change the shape of the economy, right? So then if you just keep doing this trick, so to speak, all you're just going to keep getting is short-term growth. And then that also continues to feed into inflation, which I talked about earlier as being, you know, the main mandate of the central bank. So people will just constantly expect inflation, and prices will just keep increasing, and you're just back to the same starting point. So instead, like, what I would just want to say is, you know, just challenge us to think about things like fiscal policy. So when I say that, it's just even looking at like how taxes, for example, can be used as a redistribution tool, a redistribution tool to, you know, almost like you're getting revenue from the, you're even diversifying the source of your revenue. So you're not just depending on oil, which we know fluctuates constantly. So now you're thinking of a more stable source of income, but that obviously has to be implemented in the right way. So you don't necessarily want to have regressive taxes. And by that, I mean, you know, taxes that place more of a burden on people who are on the lower income earning scale rather than those who are already like earning a lot of income. Then there's even what you policies that help you think about the supply side of the economy, right? So policies that help you like create a bigger cake, right? So it's not just, oh, like, we're just going to keep dividing like the national economic cake amongst ourselves, but it's almost like, how can we be more productive? If we look at a sector like agriculture, for example, why is it that the employment share is like, the employment share is essentially higher than, you know, the output that comes. So essentially the inputs that goes in is way higher than the outputs that comes out. So we're not even producing as much the amount, the resources that go into what we produce don't add up. So it's just those kinds of policies are the ones that we want to be thinking about. So it's just looking outside of monetary policy as a tool to steer Nigeria out of its current situation.
Fadekemi Abiru is the new editor-in-chief at Stairs Business. Fadekemi, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you, Sandra.
All right, Lagos, that's all the time we have. I wish we had more, but we do not. Wemi Moore is here with the news at 6 o'clock. When she's done, Conversations with Rufai will take the air. You can listen to any of the conversations we've had today again on our website, nigeriainfo.fm, or via Spotify. Just search for Hard Facts with Sandra Ezekwesili, and you can listen to every single thing you've heard on air, but you're not very sure you heard it very well like that via our podcasts. I'm Sandra Ezekwesili on social media. Those were your Hard Facts, Lagos. Have yourselves a fantastic evening.